Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning as a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton from 2SER 107.3 in Sydney, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Making headlines this week, almost 1,500 migrant children torn away from families, then gone missing, such as it were, lost by the Department of Health and Human Services. The excuse from the department is, we know where they are, we just can't contact any of them right now. Some were feared to have been placed with human traffickers and the like. Ed, what's happening?
God only knows. There's such a mess in the Department of Homeland Security, combined with the other human services departments, that nobody is running the United States. It is an absolute mess. And the president will take any, he won't accept any responsibility, and he won't take no for an answer, except when it comes to immigrants, and he doesn't care. So this is another example of just not caring. These are real people. If they were Americans and they were in some other country, think what would be happening. So this is an example of the two faces of America right now.
Yeah, as you said right there, this is a Trump policy. They decided they were going to separate children from adults so they could prosecute the adults separately, regardless of whether they were asylum seekers, regardless of whether they were parents to young children that were with them. It's supposedly going to be a deterrent measure, and yet, in terms of taking responsibility, Trump has blamed the Democrats. Somehow it's the Democrats' fault.
My God. It's the Democrats' fault. How many Democrats were helping those people cross the border? How many Democrats were running the programs that Trump is in charge of? How can he just simply tell these bold-faced lies again and again and again? It is amazing.
The North Korea talks, they're on and they're going to solve all the world's problems. Then they're off. Then they're on again. Anything worth talking about at the moment?
Well, it looks like they're moving toward having them. But it's interesting. Trump is now not the big thing anymore. He is second fiddle, because the South Korean president upstaged him, and it looks like the Chinese have upstaged him. The way I see this going is Trump will get nothing from this. However, the peninsula will get a great deal. There will be reduction in nuclear weapons. Some kind of inspection program will follow that. The Chinese, who control the seas, will open the seas and allow the North Koreans to get something. They will also open their borders for trade. And once the South Koreans are moving technology things into North Korea, and we're talking about a long time here, we're talking about something longer than East Germany. We're talking about maybe a decade or so of normalization, but it looks like it's going to happen, and the United States, again, is going to be left out.
Moon Jae-in for a Nobel Peace Prize, maybe.
I think so. And maybe Kim Jong-un.
Sticking with the region for a moment, we've talked quite a bit about China, but just touching on Japan for a minute. Japan, they're a close ally with the United States. They're on the same side as the US on the North Korea issue. And, of course, why wouldn't they be? They're a lot closer to the issue going wrong than anybody else. Reports this week, though, that just because Trump and Shinzo Abe are golfing buddies doesn't mean the administration is going to go easy with them, especially on trade. They're talking about the same sort of trade tariffs that China just sort of negotiated their way around. What's the latest?
Well, I think what's happening here is the imbalance of trade with Japan has gone on since the 1970s and gotten worse, not because the Japanese are doing something incredibly different. They actually make good automobiles. They actually make good consumer products that Americans prefer to American products. They're not dumping in the United States. As a matter of fact, they are providing a lot of jobs for Americans. So this is a touchy one for Trump. If he pushes too hard, Americans will again lose jobs, as they did in agriculture, as they did in steel. So I think the Japanese, unlike everybody else, are not going to jump up and down. They're going to see that he's going to have to back down and simply hold their ground.
We saw Memorial Day take place this week, a day for Americans to remember their fallen in, I guess, wars present and past. Any thoughts from this one?
Well, this is a different one in that there is really nothing to celebrate. If you think of the most recent war's heroes and the most recent war activities, Afghanistan, Iraq, there is nothing at all to be proud of. And so the United States military is now kind of one of those movie sets where there's a nice facade, but you go through the door and there's nothing behind it. And on top of that, the American soldiers have actually been abandoned by the nation. The Veterans Administration is a total mess. Veterans benefits that Trump said he was going to do so much about, and he's going to help the veterans. And there's a big announcement how veterans benefits went up. These are the benefits that were automatically supposed to go up. He's taking credit for something he didn't do. So there is no Secretary of Veterans Affairs. The programs for the future are not in place. So this is a mourning day for veterans in America.
Memorial Day, I believe, also the Memorial Long Weekend, the marks the start of the congressional race.
It does. This is the start of the November races. Candidates will now be in primaries. The primaries will take place in June and the final election in November. Many of them have already started. Several primaries have already occurred across the United States. And surprisingly, incumbents haven't done well. So that means both Democrats and Republican incumbents have not done well. People are not voting for the people who are in office. So this is bad for both parties in a sense. It looks like the Democrats are starting a new strategy, and that is a strategy not to be a Democrat, but just to be the guy next door. The gentleman who's running for the seat that Ryan had is an ex-steel worker. You know, my kind of guy. There's an ex-Marine pilot running in Kentucky, and she's talking about being a very strong, God-fearing person. Her ads are fantastic with her in the cockpit on jets and landing them on aircraft carriers. And again, she's running as a Democrat to bring the kind of things that people in Kentucky know are real problems. And she's not making stupid promises. She's saying, you just need to get your health care back. You just need the existing job programs that the Democrats had. You need to get those back. And we need to get some pride back in the state. So the Democrats are not going for these big left-wing universal health care, knock down the corporations or anything. We're clean guys. We're not alcoholics. We just want to go and represent you. It's a good strategy.
In fact, speaking of that, and just touching on, I guess, both sides still, you mentioned this week, obviously, the Virginian governor, I believe, he resigned due to alcoholism.
He was a congressman.
A congressman, my mistake. We've also seen the Republican Missouri governor, Eric Greitens, resigned amidst ongoing scandal. He had allegations of sexual misconduct, allegations of misuse of a charity donor list. Those kind of scandals, not exactly unique reasons for politicians to be leaving the game, but at the same time, these kind of resignations kind of speak to the difficulty Republicans seem to be having staying in the race.
Well, this is now the swamp. Trump talked about draining the swamp. He's a swampeteer. These are his people. Every time a Democrat does something wrong, illustration of how bad they are. Every time he does something wrong, it was the Democrats. Now he cannot deny these are his people. So where do we go from here? We have a super dispirited Republican Party not just divided, but dispirited. Even the combatants are tired of the combat with one another and tired of combating everything, including running for office. So we could have a very low turnout in November, and it would be very important for the Democrats just to have a high turnout. And a high turnout in Republican suburbs, because some Republican suburbs will probably vote for the Democrats, since the Democrat is not running as a Democrat, but as just a good, clean person. There's a possibility that the Democrats could win 30 to 40 seats beyond the number they need. And they're only about 4 seats away from retaking the House, the Senate. If they took both chambers, I wouldn't want to be Donald Trump. And you notice the Democrats are not running against Donald Trump. They're letting Donald Trump run against Donald Trump. And Mr. Enveti, the Stormy's counsel, is mounting the best campaign you could for them. I think this guy is a media star, and he says all the right things, and he always comes up with the right evidence. So they're getting a free ride now, a bashing of Trump by someone who can't be identified as a Democrat.
I love it. It's sort of like the old Sun Tzu. If your enemy's destroying himself, let him. Don't get in his way. I did want to talk about the flip side of the coin, though, for Democrats. Democrats may be getting a little bit too comfortable even. In California, seem to be some frustration that there are too many candidates and too many conflicting messages from Democratic organizations screwing up the race for the House, essentially. This is a big problem because California has this top two system of elections. But still, we do see some internal conflict still taking place around the country. Democrats still need to get out of their own way, I would say.
That's true. I just did my California ballot. It had, God, so many names on it that I'd never heard of, which gives the incumbents a big chance. Dianne Feinstein's on the ballot again. Everybody recognizes that name, and she's in the middle of the ballot, which isn't a great place. But most of the known Democrats have good placements on the ballot. And I didn't, in my district, there are no Democrats running for Congress who even had an opponent. So I think in some areas where, like Los Angeles, where a lot of people are leaving office, you see this phenomena of a number of Democrats jumping in and a number of Republicans. But all said and done, California's silly system will probably bring out Democrats who have some potential to win.
The Russia investigation, usually like to get this one in. This week, Rudy Giuliani now says Trump won't sit down for an interview with Robert Mueller unless the White House can review all the FBI's informant documents on the Trump campaign. This is all part of the Spygate nonsense. Given the White House leaks like a sieve while the Mueller investigation's been pretty airtight, I would say this is not exactly a great idea. What's your take, Ed?
Well, in fact, it would be an illegal thing to do. The police cannot provide the evidence to the criminal. That is illegal, unconscionable, and silly. And in this case in particular, since the man is searching for his defense, he can't do it here. He has to be in defense mode. He has not been indicted for anything. He's a sitting president of the United States. There is an absolute conflict of interest for him or any member of his administration to be looking at any document that comes from the Justice Department. So that not only is this silly, it is insane. Now, did Rudy Giuliani, did he get his law degree on a box top? My word. I've never heard of anything as ridiculous as this.
And on the other side of that, with the Justice Department and the attacks on the FBI, reports this week the investigation is looking into obstruction of justice for Trump, not just on the James Comey firing, but also around the, well, a part of the outburst towards Jeff Sessions, who, of course, he recused himself from the Russia investigation last year. Trump wanted Sessions to reverse his recusal and presumably exert some influence over the investigation. Given Sessions never bowed in on this one, is this an avenue the FBI can take?
Yes, they can. The whole idea of obstruction of justice is not what you do, but what you intend by what you do. If his intention, and obviously was, to stop this recusal so that it could stop the investigation, this is an obstruction of justice. And it sounds like it's almost in the open. So where is this going to end up? Mueller will issue a report. In this report, there'll be plenty of indictable material. But Mueller will probably not attempt to indict the president. What he will do is he'll make sure everyone around the president is indicted in federal and state courts. He'll make sure that the president's fortune is tied up in such ways that he can't touch it, because there'll be money laundering charges to deal with and reputational damage. So I think this game is really over. The question is, who does the drop kick for the extra point? Because you can't damage the president's reputation much more. If the Democrats, and this is a big if, succeed in even getting one of the chambers, the presidency will not be something you'd want to go through. So what I think an exit strategy should be prepared for here. Already the vice president is setting up his office like the president, and the tension between those two couldn't be greater. And if you notice in the flicks now, where the vice president used to be standing next to the president, he's now in background. So I think the vice president is the man in waiting, and let's see how long he has to wait. I don't think there's going to be an impeachment. The Democrats would be silly, even if they can control both chambers, to impeach him, because they would lose steam for their candidate for president. So keep him there. That would be so disruptive to the Republicans, because no sitting president has ever been denied a second chance. So wait him out. And notice, Joe Biden's been on TV a little bit.
Just finally, Ed, before I do let you go, Puerto Rico, it's been a while since we talked about the area. The American government still saying the death toll from Hurricane Maria was 64, but following ongoing issues with infrastructure and medical care, according to researchers at Harvard, they put the number of deaths closer to roughly 4,600. It's quite a leap between the two. Puerto Rico still being ignored.
Yes, Puerto Rico is still being ignored, and this is really unconscionable. As a matter of fact, and some of your listeners might know, I was in a disaster of similar scale, and I'm surprised they haven't even called me. Every other major disaster, I've at least gotten a telephone call. I had an opportunity to talk to people at the top, and been in some way involved, like back in Sandy. Some of your listeners may know I went, called in for that, just to provide some of my background information and the like. So I think we have a situation here where Puerto Rico is being purposely ignored. Puerto Ricans in this administration are immigrants. They don't speak English. They do, but you know what I'm saying. They're viewed as not Americans. And again, a big mistake. Puerto Rico voted heavily Republican. The Puerto Ricans, when they're going, leaving, they're going to Florida. They speak Spanish. They'll tell people how they were treated. The Cuba mess is leaking into this. So I really think Puerto Rico is now a bellwether for the Republican Party. And That will be the Puerto Rican story. It will be on TV over and over and over.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER Sydney. To help support the work we do, go to 2SER.com/donate. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.